Hi, you're listening to an audio sermon presentation from the Reverend Paul W. Simrell, pastor of Elpis Christian Church, Maidens, Virginia. You can learn more about our congregation and its ministries by visiting elpischurch.org. We also hope that you'll continue to access other sermons, Bible study and meditation materials, resources for pastoral counseling and more by visiting our church's blog, which can be found at igw3.blog. That's the number 3, igw3.blog, or paulsimrell.com, or by visiting our congregation's Facebook page. Now, here's today's message. Our scripture passage comes from 1 Peter, the second chapter, the 2nd through the 10th verses. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. A teacher asked a boy this question. Suppose your mother baked a pie, and there were 7 of you, your parents and 5 children. What part of the pie would you get? A 1/6, replied the boy. I'm afraid you don't know your fractions, said the teacher. Remember, there are 7 of you. Yes, teacher, said the boy, but you don't know my mother. Mother would say she didn't want any pie. I love that little story because it speaks in such a simple, clear way about how loving mothers so often put their own desires or needs second to that of their family. One person put it this way, Motherhood is the ultimate reward and the ultimate sacrifice, all in the same breath. Ask most mothers about the sacrifices they've made over the years, and they'll downplay them in a heartbeat. On the other hand, ask them to speak about the blessings they've received through their sacrificial love. Well, you better just sit down with a good cup of coffee because you're going to be there a while, hearing all about it. I thought on this Mother's Day 2020, I would turn to a scripture verse that is probably not typically heard on Mother's Day, but one which I think nevertheless helps us to celebrate the love of earthly mothers while at the same time celebrate and give thanks for the sacrificial love God has for all of us. I think there are some real parallels there worth exploring. Take, for example, how the Apostle Peter begins this passage. It's an invitation. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. Now, most of us don't like being called a baby, But here's an exception to that. We should all be happy to be put in the category here. Newborn infants. That is, spiritually speaking. Why? Because that's the way we begin to, as Peter puts it, grow into salvation. Jesus said a similar thing when he said that unless we became like children, we could never enter the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't saying we should seek to be childish, far from it. He was saying, however, that we need to approach life with an eyes wide, joyful, trusting, childlike wonder. And that includes hungering for mother's milk, as it were, spiritual nourishment that'll strengthen us and help us to grow like no other food can. Where do we get it? From God, and from those God has placed into our lives, who will love us, guide us, forgive us, show us more than a little grace when we need it, like a good mother, for instance. Look again at the second part of that verse. We are to seek this spiritual food if what? If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. I think that is another invitation. It is to see for yourself when it comes to God. Don't take my word for it. Reach out and taste all that God wants to offer to you. Do it with an open mind and an open heart. And I think pretty soon you'll be telling me just how good God's love is, now and always. Come to him, Peter says, a living stone, a cornerstone, a spiritual foundation, who, though rejected by some, can be the very foundation for our lives as his children. Now think for a moment how that parallels the experience of coming to mom when you needed her most. Some, sadly, haven't had good experiences with their earthly mothers. They have found them to be unavailable or overly critical. But so many others, and I hope this is your experience, can lovingly remember what it is to have mom there in your corner and on your side when you most needed it. I know I have such memories, and I'm grateful for each and every one of them. So Peter offers us two invitations: to crave spiritual nourishment from God, and to trust in it, knowing that God loves us so deeply, something we can attest to from our own experience. In other words, that we have tasted that love for ourselves. And then after the invitation comes the promise. Peter says we are no less than a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order, he says, that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are called out. That's literally what the word ecclesia means, the called out ones. We are the church. We get our English word ecclesiastical from this root. We are chosen, royalty no less. And we have a job to do, to proclaim the mighty acts of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When you think back to your childhood experience growing up, what dreams did your dad or mom have for you? Did you have a dream or two of your own that your mom especially helped you to live out? I hope that's the case. And if you were a parent or a grandparent yourself, I invite you to support the dreams of your children or grandchildren as best as you can, providing, of course, you can honestly say they are in line with what God would want for them. There's simply no telling what we can accomplish when we grasp hold of the support that God can provide for us, especially when that support comes in the form of a loving, blessing, praying parent or grandparent. Let me share a story to illustrate. Ida Elizabeth Stover was born in Mount Sydney, Virginia, the only daughter of Elizabeth Ida Judah Link and Simon P. Stover. She was christened Elizabeth Ida in the Salem Lutheran Church, Mount Sydney, Virginia, currently the Salem Evangelical Lutheran Church, whose baptismal records show an original name of Elizabeth Judah. She was only 5 years old when her mother died, after which she lived with her maternal grandparents, William Link and Esther Black Link, until William's death in 1879. Her maternal uncle and aunt, William Link and Susan Cook Link, then raised her at their farm. Now, they didn't believe girls should be educated, and instead they pushed her to just memorize the Bible. She took to it right away. It is said that in the course of her life, she memorized 1,364 Bible verses, which she could freely quote. When told she couldn't enroll in high school, she ran away to Stanton to further her education, supporting herself by baking pies and cooking in private homes. At age 21, she joined two of her brothers who had moved to Kansas. Ida graduated from high school at age 19 and taught for 2 years before entering Lane University. On September 23rd, 1885, in Lecompton, Kansas, on the campus of their alma mater, Lane University, she met her future husband, David. He was a college-educated engineer, but had trouble making a living, and the family was always poor. In the 1890s, Ida left the River Brethren Christian Group and joined the International Bible Students, which would evolve into what is now known as Jehovah's Witnesses. The family home served as the local meeting hall for the Bible students from 1896 to 1915. But her sons, although raised there, never joined that particular movement. Nevertheless, her deeply religious life was a strong influence on all of them. She had seven sons: Arthur Bradford, Edgar Newton, Dwight David, Roy Jacob, Paul Dawson, Earl Dewey, and Milton Stover. Paul died in infancy. Two of her children remained in Kansas, and the rest entered trades or professions that took them far away to other states. And now, as Paul Harvey would say, here's the rest of the story. This remarkable woman's full married name is Ida Elizabeth Stover Eisenhower, and she was the mother of U.S. President Dwight David Eisenhower. President Eisenhower said of her, "Many such persons of her faith, selflessness, and boundless consideration of others have been called saintly. She was that. But above all, she was a worker, an administrator, a teacher, a guide, a truly wonderful woman. Who can say what will come of the child who is lovingly nurtured on the pure spiritual milk of our faith? Who can say what we can accomplish by God's grace as those grown into spiritual maturity. This Mother's Day, give thanks for those wonderful saints of God who nurture us to become the very best we can be, and to Almighty God who lovingly brings them into our lives. Amen.